ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्ददामि भगवत् गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे पुल्लारविन्दाय तपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णः प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीपः प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपानये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं हंसचाणूरमर्दनम् देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनि कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामविकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोतीर्णा खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तकेशवः पाराशर्यवचः सरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटम् नानाख्यानकेसरं हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितं लोके षड्जन षट्पदैरहरः पेपीयमानं मुधा भूयाद् भारतपङ्कजं कलिमल प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवै वेदै साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदै गायन्ति यं सामगा ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणा देवाय तस्मै नमः சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சார்ய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சார்ய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம். ஓம் சோ Today we are going to be seeing a summary of the third chapter that we completed in the last class. This chapter was elaborating on the topic of Karma Yoga, and the background of this chapter is Arjuna's doubt. This doubt was based on the Lord's teachings of the second chapter, and Lord Krishna had actually dealt with in detail both Karma Yoga as well as Jnana Yoga. But we find that Lord Krishna has focused on Jnana Yoga a lot in the beginning of the second chapter. He begins the teaching of with Jnana Yoga, and he also says that wise people alone will be free from sorrow. He does mention that. And in 11th stanza, he actually begins with Jnana Yoga, showing the importance of Jnana Yoga. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Ashoshyanan Vashochasvam பிரஜா வாதாஞ்ச பாஷசே கதாசூன கதாசூன்ச நானு சோசந்தி பண்டிதாக. That's where the teaching begins in the 11th stanza of the second chapter. So the Lord said, you are grieving for those who should not be grieved for. At the same time, you are speaking the words of the wise. So wise people do not grieve for the dead and for the living. So if you see, the beginning of the second chapter actually started with a very philosophical note on Jnana Yoga, right? And Krishna also went on to glorify knowledge as a means of liberation. And he concluded the teaching also, if you remember, in the second chapter, in the 72nd verse, he talked about Sita Prajna. Because Arjuna wanted to know what is the Lakshanani of Sita Prajna. So he spoke about Esha, Brahmi, Sthiti and all, how the person is. How does he walk? How does he stand? All of this question Arjuna asked, and Krishna was clarifying. So therefore what happened? Lord Krishna began the second chapter with Jnana Yoga and ended it with Jnana Yoga. In between, he spoke of Karma Yoga and he says, Arjuna, fight. Yogastaha kuru karmani sangam tyaktva dananjaya siddha siddhiyo samobhutva samatvam yoga uchyate. Right? This is in the middle. It was the second chapter, 48th verse, where Krishna actually spoke about, you know, abiding in yoga, please give up attachment, etc., but do your duties, right? So, even though Krishna has made the teaching very clear, right, because of Arjuna's filtered listening, he gets a doubt. If Jnana Yoga is very important, and Jnana Yoga alone leads to liberation, then, oh Lord, you should be persuading me to take up Jnana Yoga. On the other hand, you glorify Jnana Yoga and you ask me to follow Karma Yoga. I have a problem because this seems very unacceptable to anyone. Like if you glorify Karma Yoga and then you say, okay, follow Karma Yoga, fine. Or if you glorify Jnana Yoga and then say follow Jnana Yoga, that's also fine. Right? But you cannot advertise one product and say follow the other product. So this is what was Arjuna's doubt, because he had somewhat filtered listening, because his mind was more towards running away from the battlefield, right? So with that background, Krishna entered into this chapter and Arjuna had asked this question saying, if you consider Jnana Yoga is superior, do not ask me to fight this war, right? This is how he started. He said, tell me, right, what is good. So Arjuna's question was, which is better? Should I follow Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga? Which is a better path? If you consider Jnana Yoga is superior, then do not ask me to fight this war, right? So Lord Krishna makes certain fundamentals very, very clear, right? Very important for any seeker wants. There is no choice between Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. Therefore, we can never ask the question, which is better? Like, you can choose between two trousers and two shirts. But you can't ask, is trouser better than shirt, right? Both are required, right? So if Karma Yoga is one means of liberation and Jnana Yoga is another means of liberation, then you can ask which one is better, right? So we have to be very clear that Jnana Yoga is the only path to liberation. Where is the question of whether to follow Jnana Yoga or not, right? Question is, do we want moksha or not? That is the question, right? So as a mumukshu, what is a mumukshu? One who is desirous of moksha. As a mumukshu, Jnana Yoga is the only way. That's the first point. The second point is, for Jnana Yoga, we need qualification. For anything in life, you need qualification, basic things, right? Basic qualification. So Jnana Yoga requires the qualification, which is purity, maturity and detachment. This qualification we have to acquire through Karma Yoga. So that is the explanation, right? And from Karma Yoga, we go to Jnana Yoga. Moksha can be acquired only through Jnana Yoga. So what do you do as a first step? Follow Karma Yoga and attain the qualifications required, or Jnana Yogyata Prapti, we say in Sanskrit. So follow Jnana Yoga and get moksha. There is no other path. So if you talk of any other yoga, right, whether it is Ashtanga Yoga or say Japa, or it is any other form of yoga, right, your Hatha Yoga, whatever, right, all of them, meditations, Upasana Yoga, all of them are only part of Karma Yoga. It will all help you get qualification, Jnana Yogyata for Jnana Yoga. Therefore, Arjuna, your question is wrong. But remember that there is a choice of lifestyle, right? You can choose what lifestyle you want to live, right? That you can decide. That is in your hand, right? So, in the way you live, you can either choose Pravritti Marga, which is family, children, normal Grihasthashrama life, or Nivritti Marga, which is no responsibility, family, work, nothing, right? So, Grihasthashrama and Sannyasashrama. So, you can choose. You have choice with respect to the Nishta. Whatever be the lifestyle you choose, right, you have to follow both Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga. If you choose Grihasthashrama, you have to follow all the karmas prescribed, right, as well as Jnana Yoga. If you choose Sannyasa Ashrama, also you have to perform karma. Only difference is the karma will be as per the Sannyasa Ashrama regulation, right? So it is called Sannyasa Ashrama Vihita Karmani. Karma suitable to the sannyasi, right? And that is indicated by the danda that they carry. They carry that stick, right? That is what it indicates, to remind them that they also have karma to follow. For Grihastha Ashrama, right, it is represented by the sacred thread, right? So, Lord Krishna says, whatever be your lifestyle, follow both, right? So, natural question is, if there is a choice of ashrama, which one is better? Lord Krishna openly says, and that is the beauty of Gita. In Gita, you will find this highly pronounced. In Upanishads, you will not find this kind of favoring of Grihastha Ashrama this much, right? But Lord Krishna is very clear in Gita that it is best for 99.99% of humanity. What? Grihastha Ashrama, right? So if an unfit person takes up Sannyasa Ashrama, it will bring down the very glory of Sannyasa Ashrama, and sannyasis will come under threat and they will become a subject of ridicule. So Grihastha Ashrama is safe. So, Lord Krishna says, continue in Grihastha Ashrama, do your duty, purify the mind, acquire knowledge and be free by becoming a Jnani Grihastha, right? A Jnani Grihastha is liberated and superior to a Ajnani Sannyasi, right? A Sannyasi could be an Ajnani, you must remember that, right? So, Krishna himself is an example, right? He is a Mahagrihastha. He had 16,008 wives as per the Purana and Itihasa, right? So, therefore, it is very clear that these two lifestyles, we have a choice and take to any one of them, follow the path, and you can follow one of the ashramas, do your karmas and purify your mind. So verses 1 to 7 was the introductory part, right? And a very important verse is the verse number 3, which I just explained, so that we don't forget. The Lord said, there has been a twofold discipline which has been initiated by me in the beginning of creation, in the form of Jnana Yoga for the sannyasins and in the form of Karma Yoga for the householders. But it is important for us to practice both these as part of whether you are a householder or a sannyasi, the respective karmas of that ashrama need to be practiced for purification of the mind. Right? Verses 8 to 20 covered Karma Yoga very elaborately, right? Karma Yoga is a mixture of two words, that is proper action plus proper attitude, right? What is proper action? We actually saw right from introduction to Vedanta, we saw karmas are of three types. We said Uttama Karmani, Madhyama Karmani, Adama Karmani, right? Here, of course, there is another way of differentiating them. Sattvic actions, Rajasic actions, and tamasic action. So, sattvic action is the best action, rajasic is the mediocre, and tamasic is the worst. Why? Because sattvic action promotes spiritual growth maximum, rajasic less, and tamasic actions do not promote spiritual growth but will take a person away from spirituality. So, gradation is based on mental purity with respect to spiritual growth, right? Now, if whatever we do, the beneficiaries are more, then the action is sattvic. Suppose I'm doing something which benefits not only my family, my village, my state, my nation, right, the entire humanity, then that is sattvic, more number of beneficiaries, and it is helping the humanity at large. If it extends only to me, right, it's on my family, then that is selfish action, which is rajasic. Purity is minimum or less. Tamasic, I get benefit by harming other people, right? So, Karma Yoga will take to, this kind of Karma Yoga will cause, this is not Karma Yoga at all, we call it Karmi. Actually, the tamasic actions don't even come under Karma Yoga, right? So, scriptures, as we saw, prescribe Panchamaha Yajna for this purpose, right, for promoting sattvic actions, right? So, if you see proper attitude, right, that's the next point that we saw. Every action becomes an offering to the Lord. We read about Ishwararpana Bhava and receiving the result as Ishwara Prasadaha. So, Ishwararpanam and Ishwara Prasadaha, right? Both these are important. This will help us maintain equanimity of mind, right? Through Ishwararpana Buddhi and Ishwara Prasada Bhavaha, right? By dedicating all actions to the Lord, we saw a lot about this. You do not dislike any action. You will sort of, even if you don't like your office for some reason, if you promote healthy attitude towards this, then you can go to office without getting, stressed and coming under pressure, right? You don't get exhausted, right? That's why nowadays you see people getting more and more problems in the 40s, etc. So, even to avoid this kind of a problem, if you have no choice but you are going into office to take up a job and do, it is better to cultivate the liking for the job and give your wholehearted full commitment to it, right? So, for my actions, whatever actions I am doing, I am reaping results constantly, and I am not only karta but also bhokta. And very important point we must remember is, present experiences are a combination of what I have done in the recent past that I remember and also remote past. We often forget that, and that is very important. As we become karma yogis, we remember this also in life, right? So, that is why what happens sometimes, we do lot of good things, but we still have problems with respect to something that is unknown to us. It is from the remote past, right? So, buddhihi here means attitude, and both these together is samatvam, right? So, we saw this verse in the second chapter on yogastaha kuru karmani sangam tyaktva dhananjaya siddha siddhyo samobhutva samatvam yoga uchyate. Right? We saw that important verse on equanimity in the second chapter as well. Right? So, important acronym that we learnt was RIDE. So, I wanted to remind you again about it. RIDE is R standing for reduce all adharmic actions gradually. So, what are the avoidable adharmic actions? Think, apply a filter. Is it ethical? Is it moral, etc.? Start living an alert life, right? That is R. I is increase dharmic activities. Activities that will service our infrastructure. Nothing but Panchamaha Yajna, right? And also your regular activities do with Ishwararpana Bhava and Ishwara Pratada Bhava. And then D is dedicate all the activities as a worship to God, so that you will give your best. And E is experience the future as it unfolds as my own karma phalam, as a prasada coming from the Lord. Right? I am not to judge the karma phalam as success or failure. Right? Because if I start judging, then I am bound to react when I treat it as success or failure. Then Panchamahayagnya, a quick recap. What are Panchamahayagnya? I spoke so much about Panchamahayagnya. First one is Deva Yajnaha, right? So daily puja, prayers, right? And not asking for personal favors in the daily prayers. Very important. There are a lot of beautiful selfless prayers for the welfare of the entire cosmos. We saw a lot of them starting from Swasti Prajabhya, Paripalayantam, so many. It is there in the slides, you can see them. And they're all deemed as Deva Puja. And the prayers can be as simple as possible as one can afford, and can even be a mental, manasikam, a puja, just with all sincerity. Then the second is Pitru Yajna, a reverential contribution to our forefathers and also all elders alive in the family and society. Our Shastras very strongly emphasize that we should take care of gurus, right? Old people, then our ancestors, relatives who do not have any children, etc. Right? So, I also do not fail to perform Shraddha or the equivalent Tarpanam, Amavasa, etc. for your forefathers who are not alive. So, this is the Pitru Yajna. The third one is Brahma Yajna. This involves contribution and promotion of all Hindu scriptures, that's Vedas. Either directly one may involve or by contributing to Veda Patashalas, right? And any of the places which, you know, do work in this related, ashramas, etc. Now, there is actually a belief that if we learn Shastram, right, that is Veda, Vedanta, Gita, etc., and do not contribute again, right, then we suffer a different kind of papam, or actually it's a debt, right, called rinam. So it is very, very important for us to make sure that we protect the Vedas for the future generation. That is all the rishis expect us to do, right? They are not expecting any money from us directly, right? Then Manushya Yajna is reverentially contribute to all fellow human beings, since we need the support of the society even for our mere survival. We must take care of everybody, monetary or physical. This is Manushya Yajna. The last one is Bhuta Yajna. Huh? Service to animals, birds, plants, etc. Right? In whatever way we can, we should take care of these, planting trees, taking care of animals, all of them. Right? So, these five are the Pancha Maha Yajna. And when we talk about increasing dharmic activities, if we can keep a tab on these and start actually doing more and more of these, it will help us. It will also greatly reduce mental stress, and that way we are happy, the society is also very happy, right? Then we saw Karma Yoga from four different angles. very important point Krishna himself has talked about Karma Yoga from four angles. He says, take Karma Yoga as commandment of the Lord. Ishvara Vihitam. Right? If you cannot understand the glory, out of fear you follow. Just like rules of government, we follow out of fear of punishment, not because we really appreciate them, like traffic rules, income tax rules, whatever it is, right? Whether you follow out of maturity or not, you will get Pratyavaya Papam. God uses that commandment, Agnya language, right? So, you better do this. So, that is one angle, right? Now, if we are a little bit mature, then out of a sense of gratitude, right? Yajnaha. We can follow expression of gratitude to Ishvara. So, convert Karma Yoga into Yajna. That is the second one. Third is Yogaha, or also termed Shodakaha. Shodaka means purifier, right? So, it is a mental purifier. It purifies you of Raga, Shoka, Moha, Lobha, Mada, Matsarya, all of this, right? By doing Karma Yoga. Just now we spoke about Pancha Mahayajna. Your mind will become Vishalam, right? So, you do more things for more people, you share your wealth, etc. And you also do physical work as well as puja and all. It becomes very, it becomes a purifier, and you are able to, with your mind which is more sattvic, you are able to spend more time on Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. And then the third one is Dharma Anushtanam, right? Maintenance of universal harmony, right? Very, very important point. So, Karma Yoga is the only way of life through which cosmic harmony can be maintained. Like a choir or an orchestra, where everybody is adhering to the same shruti or pitch, right? So, we all should work as a choir or orchestra in harmony with the universe, right? So, very important, even in modern thinking, ecological imbalance is the reason for climatic problems, right? So, even if there is some problem in Great Himalayas, we can have economic impact, right? We have a problem that way, right? So, the Pancha Mahayajna, when you follow to the best of each person's ability, it helps in maintaining the universal harmony also, right? In this respect, there is a very, very appropriate shloka from the Mahanarayana Upanishad, right? And that is what I've actually put down here because I thought some of you may be interested to know this. Dharmo Vishwasya Jagataha Pratishta Loke Dharmishtam Praja Upasarpanti Dharmena Papa Manupanudati Dharme Sarvam Pratishtitam Tasmat Dharmam Paramam Vadanti. Right? Very, very important meaning. Dharma or religious righteousness is the support of the whole universe. Mahanarayana Upanishad says that all persons come close to a person who is fully devoted to dharma. Through dharma, a person chases away sins. All are supported by dharma. Therefore, they say that dharma is the supreme means of liberation. Similarly, if you see in Taittiriya Upanishad, in Bhrigavali, sections 8 and 9, right? Annad, Bhavanti, Bhutani, Parjanyat, Anna, Sambhavat, lots, it's a set of anuvakas there. Where the cyclical dependence of the universe is talked about in Taittiriya Upanishad, right? It shows, this mantra shows how the whole universe has a single relationship. Everything is functioning in an orderly cyclic pattern. And if one link is broken at any point, the entire cyclic process will go haywire. So also in our physical system, if one organ is affected, right, then you have malfunctioning of the body itself. So, failure to do Pancha Mahayajna appropriately, in due course, it will actually tell upon the universal harmony or welfare. Hence, Lord advises all human races, right, to strictly follow Karma Yoga. Verse 88 to 20 is this part, right? Then from verses 20 to 29, we saw duties of a jnani. Right? From 21 to 29, Krishna is talking about that. And he need not actually say, because jnanis are people who know what they are supposed to do. But this is just to reinforce. And also, we should take it as it is a message to the elders in the society, right? So it's important that to note that jnanis really do not require karma yoga. They don't need japa, puja, etc., right? So we saw that traigunya vishaya vedaha nistraigunyo bhavarjuna nidvando nitya sattvastaha niryoga kshema atmavan, right? So in order to be rid of, free of the tamogunas, etc., be mindful, right? So even though jnani does not require any discipline, all other ajnanis are there in the society, right? And unless a jnani follows discipline and serves as a role model, there is nobody to emulate. So the elders and the jnanis in the society are expected to indulge in karma yoga for loka sangraha. One is to be a role model and also for the benefit of the larger society, right? So yadyad acharati shreshtaha tatta deve taro janaha sayat pramanam kurute lokas tadanu vartate. In 21st verse we saw this, right? Every other person performs only such actions which a superior one or role model performs. So the world follows that which he sets as a standard, right? And society always wants model because children keep the photos, right, of cricketers, of actors, etc. So with this kind of popularity, a responsibility to also be serving as a role model comes, right? So 26th verse also was very important verse we saw. Na buddhi bedam janayet ajnanam karma sanginam joshayet sarva karmani vidvan yuktaha samacharan. The wise should not create confusion in the intellect of the ignorant ones who are attached to action. So efficiently performing all his duties with discipline, he should inspire them. So this primary advice is to jnani, but indirectly through jnani, Krishna is advising all elderly people in the society and especially important people, mata, pita, guru, ruler, raja included, right? And Krishna is warning the parents, right? Like if child is doing something wrong, we should first look at ourselves because we don't have to say, what we do is what they emulate. So lead a proper life that others will follow. And this is very relevant to all elders also, right? So the verses that I just read out, I put it in here so that you know you can keep it for records. Right, and you can use it whenever you want. Lord Krishna says, I do agree with you that they don't really require karma for purification, but for being a role model, they need to do the karma. Right? Then we went on to the summary of karma yoga, that is verses 30 to 35. Right? Very important verse we saw there. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasadhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigadajvara. So this was a very very important verse where Krishna presented the 5-point program, right? You remember the 5-point program? He gives a 5-point program. First one is top priority must be given to spiritual goal. All other goals are subservient to this primary goal, right? And the second one is dedicate all your actions as an offering to the Lord so that you do not have any unpleasant duties or you make all duties pleasant. Arjuna now has to kill kith and kin, relatives, elders, right? Convert work to worship. Three is nirashihi. Be prepared for all types of future situations because future is totally not under your control. You are the only one of the factors who is influencing your future. We do not say that you alone can determine the future. That is arrogance. If I say everything is predetermined, then it is fatalism, right? So there are a lot of factors that are working. Geopolitical, economic factors, our own house, people, right? So many things work, right? So give me the required mindset to accept any result and work towards improvement in future, then I will not have any anxiety, right? Anxiety is caused by unpreparedness for future, right? So, Nirmamaha was the fourth one we saw. Do not claim total credit for your success. There are infinite factors other than you. And we collectively call it either Daivam or Luck or Purva Punyam or X factor, whatever, right? Remember the Lord's grace, that is humility. Take credit everywhere, but let's not, I'm not saying that we should be falsely humble because it's not practical. But let me remember that other factors were also favorable. So I think I remember I said in a corporate kind of setup, make sure you acknowledge the team and take credit for the team rather than your own self, right? And then of course the fifth one was a hallmark of Karma Yoga, which is Vigatat Jwaraha, maintaining mental equanimity as a result of the first four. Fifth factor is a natural consequence, right? So, whoever follows Karma Yoga has spiritual success, Lord Krishna says, right? So, there were two important verses in 31, 32. I didn't put down everything here other than verse 30. Eme matamidam nityam anutishtanti manavaha shraddhavanto anusoyantaha muchyante tepi karmabihi. So, this one and etve tadapyasuyantaha nanutishtanti me matam, that's the 32nd verse. Both these are important verses as well, right? So, the point here was that the indiscriminate ones criticize this teaching. The discriminate ones understand the value of this teaching and they follow Karma Yoga, right? So, the 5-point program is summarized in this. We saw this in detail. I just covered this. Adhyatma Chetasa Sarvani Karmani Mai Sanyasya Nirashihi Nirmamaha and Vigatajwaraha. Right? This is a 5-point program straight from the verse. Right? Lord Krishna has summarized it this way. And the simplified version in simple English is, first one is priority with regard to life goals, offering all actions to the Lord. The second one, accepting all results as God's gift, humbly appreciating the blessings of the Lord in success, maintenance of samatvam or equanimity. In simple English, this is a 5-point program. Then verses 36 to 43 were the obstacles of Karma Yoga. Do you remember what the obstacles were? Kama and Krodha, right? So from verse 36 to 43, Arjuna asks a question, right? What is the obstacle in following Karma Yoga? In spite of knowing its superiority, obstacle is Kama Krodha, also known as Raga Dvesha, right? Materialistic attraction takes away so much of one's life that he does not realize the need for Dharma and Moksha. So, we have a material and spiritual personality. We are a mixture of both. Our life must be well balanced to take care of both material as well as spiritual needs, right? If a person has time only for material pursuits, no time for dharma or moksha. So, if you remember in Vajagovindam, there is Balastavat Krida Saktaha, Tarunastavat Taruni Saktaha, Vriddhastavat Chinta Saktaha, Parame Brahmani Kopina Saktaha. We would have listened to this so many times. The meaning is, in childhood, the child goes in after sports and play. When you are young, you want to find your life partner, spouse, go after the women or men, right? We are busy with that. Vriddhastavat Chinta Saktaha. In the old age, we are only spending all our time in worry, no time to even spend on God and study of scriptures, right? Parame Brahmani Kopina Saktaha. So, there is no one to actually look at the study of Vedanta. Now, even if some youngsters get interested in Gita at an young age, there are so many people who will ask, why are you going for Gita class, right? So, the desire, so we need to make sure that the person does not, any person for that matter, we should not get preoccupied with kama and krodha, and which we can never fulfill and feel satisfied, right? Navitena sarpaniyo manushyaha. Manushya can never be satisfied with any amount of wealth. Desires are unending, right? So stage one is handling kama in relative measure, and two is absolute measure, right? First stage is threefold discipline, right? Damaha, shamaha and vivekaha, right? We saw importance of sense control, mind control, discrimination. I also asked you to go back to introduction to Vedanta to understand the importance of shamadhi shatka sampatti as one of the disciplines, preparatory disciplines for the study of Vedanta, spiritual journey itself, right? So, damaha is sense control and shamaha is disciplining the mind or thought control, right? Dhyayato vishayan pumsaha, we read that also. Mind can get attached to any blessed thing and then it's like a gum, it will stick, right? Mind will get attached to it, right? Attachment to Gita class is fine. Attachment to puja is fine, right? But attachment to, say, daily movies, right, and then sleeping late. Because if you do that, then you cannot get up in the morning. You will not be able to spend time on yoga. You can't do your walk. All of this will become an issue, right? So, good attachment is fine, right? Slowly you can wean out of that also as you become a jnani. But till then, attachment towards Gita, Upanishad, Puja, Parayanam, all of this, meditation, is all very good, right? So, the second stage, the vivekaha, right? We saw damaha, shamaha and vivekaha, or discrimination is very, very important, which is I alone am the source of joy or sorrow. Problem is within me and the solution is also within me. Any amount of changing the knobs of the external world is not going to help me improve my lot. That realization, right? When you have that realization, then you move towards the absolute solution. That is discovery of security within myself. Atmanyeva atmana tushtaha, right? So, I will not look from love from others, but I am myself an embodiment of love. I can give everybody love because I am dependent on myself. So, evam budhva, by gaining self-knowledge and fulfillment, take care of kama and automatically krodha is taken care of. See, if you see, Krishna has spoken about taking care of kama, but not about krodha, because krodha is an outcome of kama. So the unfulfilled desires lead to frustration and krodha, right? So, and with this question, the karma yoga topic itself is over. And if you actually see, why is this chapter called Karma Yoga? It's very obvious here because most part of the chapter or almost everything was only dealing with Karma Yoga. But as we go into the next few chapters, you will see that some explanation is needed even for the topic itself. The next one that we are going to enter is going to be called Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yoga, right? So, we will see the relevance of the topic itself as we get in. But this is a clear-cut Karma Yoga topic because the entire chapter was only focused on Karma Yoga. Except, I guess, the last two kind of verses here which talked about, you know, how the sense organs are superior to objects and the mind is superior to sense organs and the intellect is superior to mind and Atma is the superior most, right? So, that is how it ended, the chapter ended, right? So, in summary, as part of, you know, the chapter 3 at a glance, I just thought it's better to summarize in one slide. Verses 1 to 7 is Arjuna's questions and Lord Krishna's clarifications on the same. And 8 to 20 is elaboration of the principal disciplines of Karma Yoga. The four angles, then the five-point program comes later in the summary, right? So, the four angles comes here. Then verses 21 to 29 deals with the aspect of Loka Sangraha. Janaka's example Krishna took, and he explained that the duties of a jnani for the well-being of the society as a whole. And when verses 30 to 35 discusses the very essence of Karma Yoga considered by the Lord, right? And 36 to 43 was about Kama and Krodha. Now, I just thought it's of relevance to put in this slide here. What is the difference in the mindset between a Karma Yogi and Jnana Yogi with respect to life, karma, etc., right? Just 4 points. Karma Yogi has to look upon himself as what? As a spiritual seeker, right? Initially, he says, I am so and so. There is a world here. There is a God, right? Jagat, as well as there is a God who is my savior, right? So this is how he looks upon it. And then he looks upon himself as a spiritual seeker. That is the first stage. And all karmas are means to mental purification. And I look at moksha as a goal, right? And sakama bhakti is very high initially. Then it starts getting reduced. What is sakama bhakti? Asking for selfish things for one's own self. Rather, you move towards prayers for the world. That is a gradual change as you become as you are a karma yogi. In the case of a jnana yogi, he looks upon himself as ever liberated. You can see the person with a great smile, right? And they are always happy. They will also, you know, if you see them around, all around, they will exhibit happiness, calm, peace, right? Rather than, you know, they won't hurry, they won't rush, they won't get angry, all of that. So he is always reveling in the thought of, I am ever liberated. All the karmas that he functions, the benefit of the world, Loka Sangraha. And moksha is not something to be achieved. It's the ever accomplished nature. Look at the shift in the way of thinking, right? And sakama bhakti is totally eliminated. He doesn't have anything to ask for himself, he or she, right? So I just thought it's important to put down the differences in the way they look upon the world, the karmas, mokshas, etc., right? So we saw part of this as part of the chapter. And we will, in fact, I picked this up from Shankaracharya's Bhashyam, and we will see more of it as we go through also. Right? Now, I just wanted to show a few slides here, which is an aside topic. I know there are a lot of students who learn Sanskrit through, you know, and they also appear for Samskrita Bharati exam. I just picked up from Shiksha and Parichaya textbooks, 3 verses on desire. I was really surprised that, you know, there is so much of Subhashitanis around desire itself, right? And Lord Krishna speaks about addressing desire. So the point I'm trying to say is, we lived in a society where Vedanta was not for the privileged. Vedanta was distilled and distributed in the society. Because the Subhashitani is something that normal people used to talk and quote, right? So I just pulled out 3 of them and I thought it is very relevant. One was on Dinaya Minyo Sayam Prataha Shishirava Santo Punarayataha Kala Kridati Gachatyayuhu Tadapina Munchat Yashavayuhu. This is from Vajagovindam on desire. Then this one is a Subhashitani. I think this must be from Vairagya Shatakam. I'm not sure. Asha Nama Nadi Manoratha Jala. This is also on desire. Then the other one is a direct Subhashitam. Ashayaye Dasaste Dasa Sarva Lokasya Asha Esham Dasi Tesham Dasayate Lokaha. Those who are the slaves of desires are slaves of the entire world. But those who have no desire have the whole world under their control. So what I was trying to say is, in all parts of the society, this message was getting reinforced in a different manner in the earlier days, right? And of course, now we are studying Gita, but even otherwise, this was available to everybody. I since I found these three instances, I thought I should just pick it and put it here. So we will now complete this, and then I will take questions because it's the end of chapter 3. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Okay, let me just first go to the question section. Oh, somebody has not been able to hear audio. Okay. Good evening, ma'am. Okay, starting of chapter 3, you mentioned about Shiva Manasa Puja. May I request you to teach us the same? I could do that. Let me see if I can actually conduct some sessions on that. Otherwise, there is actually a recording of Shiva Manasa Puja, which I think I used it for the sessions at home. So I will put that up along with the summary. I will put up the Shiva Manasa Puja chanting along with the script. And we will see if during one of these sessions, I can also include Shiva Manasa Puja. Maybe it's worthwhile including it now, because in chapter 6, when we are doing Dhyana Yoga, you might want to actually practice meditation. And so if you get by heart Shiva Manasa Puja, by then it will be useful. Let me see what best I can do. But as of now, immediately this week, we will upload the chanting and the verses itself. Anybody else has any questions? If you can put up your hand symbol here. Yeah, okay. There's also one more question. In the metros, how we can follow the Pitru Yajna? We all do follow Pitru Yajna in the metros. So I think there are ways by which you can do it. If you just look around and inquire in your nearest any ashrama or any temple, they should be able to tell you. In Chennai, we do have, if it's not convenient to do some of these things at home, we have different chautries which have been constructed by different communities which are engaged in doing Pitru related homam and all. So whatever is convenient, we can use that. So I know for sure in Chennai we have enough. So if you just look around and ask in the temples or in any ashram, they should be able to guide you. The other option is, of course, once in a lifetime at least, it is advisable to do Gaya, Allahabad, Kashi, Rameshwaram, those kind of places. We go and do whatever we need to do. Anybody else has any questions? I think there are none. Okay, so we've completed a little early today, but that's fine because I can't. So can we do Pitru Yajna during any time of the year? Yes, you can do at any time of the year. There are some certain days which are conducive, like they say Amavasya and some other tithis in which your the forefathers have passed away, or the father or mother has passed away, that date also, that city also they do. But otherwise, if you're going to places like Kashi, Rameshwaram, Gaya and all, it doesn't matter. Every day is sacred there, so it doesn't matter. You can do it on those days. Instead of year, calendar days of past soul. Now, generally, we do not follow calendar dates for Pitru Yajna. In fact, I think I should find out the reason for this. For birthdays, we normally use stars, and for death days, we normally use tithi. Let me also try and find out whether there are any special reasons for this, but this is the general convention, so we don't use calendar dates. But if there is no way of your getting to know the tithi, then go ahead and use calendar dates. But if you know the calendar date, finding out the tithi is very easy nowadays, because you have the software for it right on the internet and it's free. So you just feed in the date, it will give you the tithi, the nakshatram, everything of that date. Okay, there are no other hands up here and there are no other questions. So we will actually meet next week and I will start with chapter 4. Okay, and there's one question here. I'm sorry, I forgot my students here. Yes.
Okay. See, the Karma Yoga is action based.
Okay.
It's also said that what I want to do, focus on what you have to do. That is what you do.
Okay, Karma Yoga is more on focusing on actions and it is more on what I have to do rather than what I want to do. Okay.
So what I have to do, where I know there are, this will be just mentioned, but comprehensively different people, what they have to do, is there any...
This Panchamaha Yajna itself is giving us a direction as to what we are supposed, we have to do, right? So other than that, if you see, there are some publications from the Veda Pathashalas and Ashramas which tell you how exactly it has to be done, etc. So even Chinmaya Mission, Swami Dayananda Saraswati, all of them have publications on samskaras. Very useful. In fact, Swami Paramarthanandji has spoken for 10 hours on samskaras. What are the various, life stages at which you have to perform what? A list itself is given. The complete set of samskaras and what you need to do. So it starts from birth and all the way up to death. So you can follow those, right? Oh, there's some more question here. Normally, do you put rice balls in the terrace? Okay, I am taking this question as rice ball in the terrace is for the crows to come and pick up the rice. And it is also, in a way, on the day of the Shraddham, we have a belief that if we keep the rice and if it's picked up by the crow, it means that we have satisfactorily completed the rituals, right? Yeah, that's a good point. Some celebrate Krishna's birthday on Rohini and some celebrate on Ashtami. Yes, that's an exception. Yeah, but general rule is what I was saying. All our birthdays, we generally celebrate on the nakshatram or the star day. During the Pitra Yajna means, we kept the rice balls in the terrace and pray in mind and expect crows to eat. That's what I said. So, because the crows have to come on that day, we make it a practice to keep the rice every day. If you don't keep it every day, there is a problem. In the same place, we train the crows to actually come and pick up. Do we need to follow process of mantra? Yeah. Every community does it differently. So whatever is your practice, you can follow that for Pitra Yajna. Okay. So okay then. So we will meet next week, same time, and we will start with chapter 4. Okay. Thank you.